Central Coast Voice is a program addressing the ramifications of change in our communities and beyond, and how today's choices will impact tomorrow's community. This program is a combined project of KCBX and our team of program hosts. Today on Central Coast Voices, Fred Monroe and his guests from ECHO will share with us ECHO's ongoing efforts to address challenges facing the homeless population of the North County. Today, ECHO shares with us their efforts to address the need of homeless families with young school-age children. You're invited to listen, learn, and participate in this conversation. We are once again able to take your live calls at 805-781-3875. Over to you, Fred.
Glad to be with you today. We have had the opportunity on a number of occasions to talk about and share stories with about the program at ECHO, which is the El Camino Homeless Organization in North San Luis Obispo County. They're not the only homeless organization in the county we talk about. We talk about all of them, and we've had some very, very good conversations. In this case, ECHO has done some remarkable expansion work and done some very critical things with regard to homeless services and how they are presented. Today joining me is Wendy Lewis. She's the CEO of ECHO. Tess Davis-Cheek, who is the Director of Development, and Stephanie Potter, who is the Development Manager. And they'll explain to you a little bit about more about what those roles entail as we have the conversation today. We really want to talk today about the efforts that they have done to basically be more service-oriented in homeless services to families. We often think about the homeless person that we see on the street, which is generally or predominantly an older male. Those are not the people we're necessarily thinking about when we think about homeless needs. But they are important to the conversation. But under the radar, there seems to be a remarkable number of families with children that are homeless. They just are not as noticeable because of where they fit into the community. About 10% of the school-age children in San Luis Obispo County either are part of a homeless family or have some connection to a homeless family or are previously homeless. And this is part of why we're having this conversation today. I'll remind you again that this is a call-in program. We really appreciate you being part of the conversation. You can give us a call at 805-781-3875. That's 781-3875. I encourage you to call early in the program. Sometimes we get down to the last few minutes and people decide there's one thing that they'd like to talk about and we're almost out of time. So thank you for sharing the program with us today. I'm gonna ask Wendy Lewis one question and then turn the microphone over to her because she'll have a lot to say about this. What is going on as far as the new project that you have for a resource center that is a remarkable new focus for you?
Yeah, thank you for having us on, Fred. It's always a pleasure to come and talk to you and just share more about our programs with your listeners. And my favorite is just help educate the community on what we're doing at ECHO. And we have been an organization that started with volunteers almost 25 years ago, and they saw a need for people to have food in North County. There was no homeless services, and that meal program grew to have kind of warming shelters at churches and provided that safety of for someone experiencing homelessness. And then we evolved even more and started adding staff about half of that time ago. And then we evolved again, and we were able to get the location in Atascadero and convert a church into ECHO Atascadero. And then we kept evolving, right? And we kept on trying to meet the unmet needs of people experiencing homelessness. And as the face of homelessness changed from that kind of chronic male on the street to now, as you mentioned, families with children and veterans and seniors, that ECHO continues to just keep to strive to meet that unprecedented need. And so that evolution has transformed us from You know, as people providing meals, which we still do today and as a fabric of what we do, but now we're a very comprehensive homeless services organization with two locations, 130 beds, comprehensive services for the people we serve, including our 90-day program and case management. And we're at it again. We are expanding and adding a family resource center in Atascadero that's going to provide 30 more beds for families with children and all those comprehensive pieces that give someone a pathway out of homelessness and into housing. That's our goal for anybody in our community who's experiencing homelessness. We truly believe that everybody deserves housing and everybody has the ability to be housed with the right services that an organization can provide.
Tess, I wanted to throw it over to you for a second because I found in our pre-program conversation that you were involved in a similar program in the city of San Francisco before this. I suspect you worked with the same question that we hear almost in any community, which is, gee, if we're helping homeless people, how come there are still homeless people on the street? And what are we doing to help the homeless that that may fall through the cracks? Because I suspect to this day what I hear, and I'm sure you all hear, is if you're helping the homeless, how come there are five people who are still sitting by the supermarket with a sign asking for food?
That's a great question. So homelessness is such a complex issue. There are so many layers, and, you know, everyone's story is different. But for many folks, you know, it's a number of challenging circumstances that, you know, it requires an individual advocate to work with them. It's people's situations are complex and they're different, and they need someone who can walk them through, you know, go through their past experience with them and help them understand how to get to the next place. They need an advocate who will take them from one organization to the next, because there's a lot of bureaucracy you have to deal with when you're experiencing homelessness. And when you're not meeting your basic needs of shelter, of a full tummy, of somewhere to sleep at night, of, you know, fresh clothes and a shower, it's really hard to go from appointment to appointment to manage your paperwork. And, you know, having a team of people who really care about you and really are dedicated to working with you and meeting you where you're at, that's what you need. And unfortunately, there's not enough people out there doing that. There's not enough echoes in the Central Coast or, you know, in the country. And so it really requires a lot of love and dedication and patience. And so, you know, we're lucky to have Echo that's doing exactly that.
Okay. Stephanie, your previous job with Echo involved, I'm going to get it wrong as far as what it was, but you were part of the coordinator for the overnight program.
Yes, so I've had a couple different positions since I've gotten to Echo. The very first one that I have, which is the one you're referring to, is the graveyard overnight coordinator. And so for that, it was just a graveyard position. Just good for our listeners to know, I am also a mom of four. So when I came into that position, I had actually been a stay-at-home mom for several years. Got to stay home with them, which was so great. I was a licensed optician before that. And then going back into the work field, I really just, my brother actually started to struggle with mental health and got diagnosed with bipolar schizophrenia. And in the midst of that, I actually was in LA and really got to see the just homelessness and how dire it was down there. And so those two topics really started to grow heavy on my heart. And when I looked to see what job opportunities there was, Echo was the first one that popped up, and I just knew that it was meant to be. And I reached out and spoke to Wendy and ended up coming on board as that graveyard overnight chaperone. And then from there, have had several different positions, six, I believe, until now, development manager.
Maybe for some of our listeners, it may be important to have a better understanding of what the graveyard shift at a homeless shelter is all about.
Yeah. So in Paso, that's where I started off. It was very different at that time. We were a 90-day shelter and then also a nightly program. And so what that entailed was just really making rounds, making sure that everybody was safe. If anybody needed help, I was there for nightly rooms. It would making sure that people were checking out on time and just going through the breakfast routine and a lot of those things. Now we have completely transitioned over to the 90-day. And so that is something that is unique about ECHO, is that we are a 90-day shelter. A usual shelter is mostly night by night shelter. So you're coming in at around 6:30 p.m. and then you're having to leave that room at 7 a.m. But at ECHO, you're getting to stay for a full 3-month period. And so we've really seen the success in that people that are staying night by night, they really are still in that fight or flight where am I going to sleep tonight? Am I going to eat tonight? Am I going to have somewhere safe to be? And so with that 90-day program, you really get stability for long term, and you're able to now start to think about those things that Tess was talking about. What am I going to do next week? Do I have an appointment I can make? What am I going to do next month? What am I going to do next year? So your mind really starts to be able to grasp just future plans. And our case management is able to help them navigate that so that they get into housing and they're able to get that long term.
You did a very good job of leading into the next thing I'm going to put Wendy on the spot about, because I'm sure you get a lot of questions. It's like, what is the difference between a 90-day program and a night-by-night program? And what happens to the people who don't qualify for your 90-day program who still need help in housing?
So great question, Fred. So Stephanie talked about when she started in Paso, we did have about half of our beds were that night by night and half were 90 day. That really wasn't by choice, because we've seen how effective the 90 day program is at our Atascadero location. But because the first 2 years of funding for our program in Paso was state funding, they did want the requirement of having that night by night component. And during that time, we actually saw the reason why, and validated to us and especially the people we're serving, why that 90-day program is really the most successful way back into housing. In the night-by-night beds, they're the most challenging for the people we're serving, because, you know, we'd have, you know, 20, 25 people come for those beds and only about a third be able to get a stay. And so, you know, taking that chance to get that bed and not getting it, you know, just was disheartening to folks. And then also we see where in that night-by-night program, maybe 10% of those people were successful in getting back into housing. But just like in Atascadero's 90-day program, in Paso we saw the same, that in that 90-day program where your case plan is individualized, just like Tess said, right? It's each person's journey is different. Each person's needs are different. And so your case manager really sits with you and helps you really give you a roadmap back into a place of your own. And in that program, you have a 60% success rate. That is just unheard of in our type of industry, to have a program, have a model where 60% of the program, our people are being able to get housed. And you had mentioned, you know, what about the others? And actually, there isn't really an other. Anybody is eligible for those that program when they're in that part of their journey where they're ready to make those forward progress, right? Forward progress can look so different from someone who's been chronically unhoused for 40 years to a new mom who lost her housing with her two little ones. That it's so different, but anybody has the opportunity, and we help someone who might not think they have the opportunity or feel like they're ready. Through our outreach case management program, we help them get ready. So really, we've seen some of the very, very, very chronically unhoused on our streets who might not have had a chance 15 years ago before ECHO evolved to have more beds in this really intense program, to now everybody has a chance when we can help them get to that spot.
It's still, I'm sure, a question you get daily, though. And that is there any opportunity, or will there be any opportunity, for those people who are not necessarily good candidates for the 90-day program to get off the street? And how do we look? I mean, there used to be a mentality that I think is hopefully not that active anymore, which was, oh, how do you deal with these homeless people? And that's buy them a Greyhound bus ticket. And I think that for some people, that's still a view of the world.
Yeah, even I've been at Echo 8.5 years, and in my first years there, there was still that mentality, and I think a little of that, but it's, I think that's evolved in a really good way, and it doesn't happen. There's not, we're not seeing, you know, shipments of unhoused people coming in or out of our county. That's just a misconception, but really, you know, anybody is able to join that 90-day program. Through our outreach teams, we go out and we go into the riverbeds. We go into the encampments. We really work with the very chronically unhoused, people facing mental health challenges, people who are still facing behavior health or drug and alcohol challenges. And those folks can come into that program. They just have to have the behaviors that make the program safe for all. But we take people who are very seriously facing those issues, and we support them. And it's someone's best chance, because if you're out on the streets and you're not getting the sleep or the nutrition you need, and you're facing those challenges, and you don't have a case manager who's connecting you to healthcare and to other programs, it's such a hard path to try to get back. But we're offering that path to pretty much anybody.
So you're very, very complete answer by itself. Thank you. I appreciate that. So I guess I want to transition to the key question, one of the things that brought us to inviting you to have the conversation today, and that is that you're building a family resource center at the facility in Atascadero. I open it to any of the three of you. Enlighten us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we had an exciting groundbreaking ceremony on Monday, and that was for the Bilico Foundation, and that is going to add 30 additional beds to our family wing, and it's actually going to be private rooms. So in Atascadero right now, we have shared spaces for our families. So, I mean, you know, anybody know that's been in a family. There's so many different family cultures. And so even though these spaces have been safe and they've provided them with the care that they've needed, we've definitely seen the success in Paso with having families have their own private rooms. And so that's something that we're actually going to be able to add in this new family wing in Atascadero, is that these family units are going to, they're individual family unit will be able to have their own private room. And that's going to add just so much more opportunity to be able to thrive, where you're not trying to just to live in a space with all these different family cultures. And so we're so excited about that. Yeah.
Yeah, a few months ago, Fred, we have one of our rooms in our family area in Atascadero had 5 single moms and 5 little ones. And it was, I just can't even imagine. And yes, it was providing the safety they needed. They got the food they needed. They had a place to put their heads down at the end of the night. But I can't even imagine, you know, how 10 personalities in one room, right? And mm-hmm. So this expansion has been this dream for many, many years. We have the land, right? That's the hardest part of expanding a shelter program, is finding a location and getting the land. So we own our land outright, and we have had this dream, and you know, we know there's more families that need us. 1 in 32 children in the United States will be facing homelessness this year, and in our county, we see them coming to us for support. We have, unfortunately, about 300 people on our wait list, including families with children. And so, you know, we have this land, and we would probably have been doing this maybe 5 years from now, because we grew so rapidly when we added Paso. But we had this incredible foundation come out, and they had supported Echo with 2 previous projects, and they said, "What's your next big dream?" And we showed them the out front, the property out front, and they said, "You know, Wendy, we're going to challenge you to do this now. This is so important, and you know, you're going to come to us in 5 years and ask us to help this project, and we're going to say we're going to help this project now, because in 5 years it's going to cost a lot more." And so, this generous foundation donated $2.8 million. $1 million to kickstart this vision, to get this campaign going, to say, Echo, hey, you're going to do it now. And we're like, yeah, our board's like, another leap of faith. Let's do this. And so it's, yeah, we know it was a dream, and they made it the beginning of this reality. And like Stephanie said, the groundbreaking on Monday, 150 people. And I've just never experienced that. And, you know, my favorite part of it, from having Senator Laird, who's been a champion of our work, and, you know, Supervisor Moreno was there and spoke, and also Assemblyman Addis spoke. But one of our past clients, who's now a case manager supporting our clients, spoke, and not a dry eye in the house. I have a banker friend, and I won't share his name, so he would probably wouldn't care, but big, tall guy, probably 6'5" at least or higher, and I could see tears in his eyes, and it just inspired people. And that's what we're kind of here today to do as well, is we're kicking off the Hope and Home campaign, and we're just getting the message out that there's more families with children who are wanting to make those next steps forward, who are there at our door, and we're just trying to bring more folks in. And one of my favorites, we talk about, you know, we can't wait till the doors open and we can hear kids running down the hallway and giggles because they know they have a safe place to be, and they're going to join our reading program. They're going to be able to do homework. They can sit at a workforce development computer station and, you know, look at what they're doing for their homework that night. So yeah, it's a really exciting time at Echo.
As you talk about families, what sticks in my mind is, before they find your program, they have to sleep somewhere. Where are these – I mean, these families, they weren't families just yesterday. They've been families for a year, at least a year or two if it's a small child. How do they find you, and what is their story that got them here when they walk in your door?
Oh, Stephanie, I think especially at being a mom herself, she's passionate for everybody we serve, but I know the kiddos and supporting the kiddos is kind of something that makes her light up. So you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So an aspect of my job that I really love is that I get to do Sunday success stories, which means that's something that's featured on our Facebook and our social media. So follow us if you haven't already. But on those, we just share any success stories and whatever that looks like. For some, it's finding housing. For a lot, it's finding jobs and different things like that. And so we get to highlight when somebody has moved into a home and then do a wish list for that as well. And so through that, I've gotten to meet a lot of families and just hear their stories and how they got to Echo. And so one family really stands out. Just got noticed that they had to be out of their house within just 2 weeks. And I mean, in Slo County, being the second most expensive in California, that's something very difficult to do in 2 weeks. And so this mom was a single mom and she had 3 kiddos and she only had $20 to her pocket. And her kids were, 2 of them school age and the other one was only 15 months old. And she was carrying the weight of all of that, just trying to figure out, what do I do? And she ended up going to school and just broke down to one of the teachers and said, I don't know what to do. This is my situation. And the teacher said, Echo, you need to go to Echo. And she didn't even have a car or anything. So she ended up taking the bus and coming to Echo. And we were able to help her right away and get her into the 90-day program and really walk through that season with her and just set up a pathway of how to get back into stable housing and how to sustain that long term. And so we had the pleasure of being able to get her housed, and she's been housed for over a year and a half now, her and her kiddos. And it was so fun when we got to do, we do handprints at Echo. So whenever somebody gets housed, we get to paint their hands and they get to put it up in the wall. And for kids, that's so much fun. And I wish that I had those giggles recorded, because that family was so sweet in the way that they were putting all the paint on their hands and giggling and running to the wall and trying to figure out where Are they going to put their handprints on here? They were just so proud that they had gotten to that moment. And even more so when they got to move into the house, they were running around that house, looking in every drawer, opening every little thing to just, this was their home now. And so that's just kind of how it works, but that's what Echo is here to do. And we really do see that there is children and families that really is growing in homelessness. And so that's why we're opening this family wing, to try to help more of those families and help them get back into a stable home.
That's a wonderful story. And it's a the word story sometimes is tough. It's a real life story. It's not a story. As you were talking about that, though, one of my first thoughts is, how in the world in this county did you find housing for them? I mean, it's not like you go on Craigslist and find all the listings of affordable housing. Now, maybe all of the affordable housing listings are on Craigslist, but there's not a whole lot of them, and it's not terribly affordable.
Mm-hmm. We get that question a lot, and our case managers are incredible. So shout out to every single one of them. But they are very creative in the way that they find housing, and that's going to look different. Some it's going to be a studio apartment. Some it'll be a bedroom within a house. And some, there has been a lot of long-term relationships grown because Echo has been around for so long doing this, that there is a lot of connections there as well.
And one of the things that we call it the 90-day program, which is at least 3 months of that stability for someone who is working a plan, making forward progress. Again, that forward progress looks so different for someone. It might be just that first medical appointment they needed to get to, or that step forward with maybe getting their driver's license or an ID. But for others like families, we can internally extend it up to 6 months because of the housing piece. Housing, especially for families, is much harder because they need at least a one or two bedroom versus maybe a bed in a room. And so families are probably the most challenging to get into housing, not challenging to serve, but that component is really hard. And you had asked earlier, like, where are the families? Often families are doubled up in someone else's home, sometimes tripled up, and something happens where landlord finds out, and now someone's friend says, you have to leave, and there's no other option. And Echo becomes that safety net. And, you know, for this family in that particular case that Stephanie shared, the housing became inhabitable. There was a safety reason they had to leave. And, you know, I just, when someone turned to their school and the school said Echo, you know, that is why we're champions and why we work so hard. And our team is amazing. And, you know, our volunteers that make this possible, we can't say enough to them. And we just, this is a big leap of faith, again, to grow and expand in this kind of unknown funding time we're all in. And I just know our community is going to step up and help this become a reality. And, you know, one of the coolest things about this project is the foundation that's helping. They connected us right away to one of their builders that they had built other projects in California. And they said, oh, it's a modular company, Wendy. And I just pictured, you know, a mobile home my aunt used to live in when I was younger. and I'm like, what? Yeah, but the funders are telling me to meet with this builder. And it is the neatest process ever. And what it is, it's going to look like this beautiful two-story building for the spaces we need for these individual family rooms. And it is such an incredible project because traditional stick build, it might take us 2 years. But because it's modular and the pieces are being made off-site right now, which is just blowing my brain out of the water, you know, and it will be assembled on-site like giant Legos in about 10, 11 months. And we will be opening the doors to these families that need us.
We recently had the folks from South County that are doing the 3D printing housing on.
Wow.
On it's one when resources are short, sometimes it's amazing what comes to the surface because it's, well, I always want this exact house this exact way, but doggone it, we're talking about a need for actual housing. You can talk about your dream house some other time, a roof and a kitchen or what you're talking about in some cases. It's nice to see the resources in San Luis County. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with you in just a minute. Remind you, you can give us a call at 805-781-3875. If you've used the services of Echo, if you're one of their success stories, if it's a challenge for you personally, we would love to take your call. You do not need to identify yourself. But the phone number is 805-781-3875, and we'll be back with you shortly.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. Next time on Latino USA, we head to California, where an unconventional music program is helping farm workers process trauma and heal.
It's not just about teaching notes or chords, but about honoring their stories and building something joyful and beautiful with them through music.
That's next time on Latino USA.
On the next Fresh Air, how the Pentagon and military are being transformed. Last week, Defense Secretary Hegseth told hundreds of top military commanders to end, quote, woke policies. And President Trump suggested using the military against the enemy from within. Trump has deployed the National Guard to several U.S. cities. Our guest will be The Atlantic's Nancy Youssef. Join us.
And you can listen to Fresh Air today here on KCBX from 3 to 4 o'clock this afternoon, followed by Marketplace 4 to 4:30, and All Things Considered 4:30 to 6:30. Right now we return to Fred Monroe and his guest from Echo here on Central Coast Voices. Back to you, Fred.
Oh, I'm talking with my guests, and sorry about that. We're talking with folks from Echo, the El Camino homeless organization out of Atascadero and Paso Robles. Great resources and a new project they have going. They have a family resource center they're working on. You can give us a call at 805-781-3875. I suspect sometimes there are questions about the homeless that you'd like to ask, that you feel like you can't ask or there's not a place to ask. Please, you can be part of the discussion. You do not need to disclose who you are if you want to give us a call. That's 781-3875, and be part of the conversation. Tess, I understand from that you wanted to talk about one of the is it the part of the resource center, I guess.
Yeah, there's one part in particular. Well, there's a lot of parts I'm excited about, but one part in particular that I keep thinking about is, you know, as a new mother, I have a 2-year-old, and I think about my daughter and watching her grow into this person that's so dynamic and has so many pieces of her personality that I want to see flourish. You know, one thing is that when we're in the privacy of our home, my husband and I, our daughter gets really into dancing, and it's the most beautiful thing to see, because any sound that sounds slightly reminiscent of a song, like a beat or a tapping or anything, she starts dancing. And she only does that when it's just the three of us. She gets really nervous when other folks are around. And I think about how we want to not just see families succeed, but we want to see them thrive. And having a space, the children's activity room or, you know, the shared living space, but having these private spaces within this new family wing, what that will do for the quality of life for these families, I visualize not having that space for my daughter, for her to dance and to sing and to open up as herself and let her personality grow, and how hard that would be as a mother. And, you know, this creating this new family resource center, it mitigates that problem. It creates the spaces that we need for our children to thrive and to be themselves.
Yeah, one other component, Fred, that I just I cannot wait. I am not a new mother. My boys are in their late 20s and early 30s, but I so remember as a mom how, like, you know, the end of a day and everybody's tired and you're so tired and you're like, oh gosh, the kids are just running around the house. I can't get them to calm down. I'm going to throw them in the bathtub, because every child loves bath time and they can't get out. You know, they're captive and you can like sit on the floor and just play with them. And right now at Echo Atascadero, our parents, they have to shower with their little ones. And again, we're providing this resource that's helping and doing great, but we want to see if we can do even better. And to be able to, in the family resource wing, we will have some bathtubs so parents can have that private space to throw their kids in the bathtub and decompress and, you know, sit there with rubber duckies and splash time. And, you know, just that specialness at all these moments in our kids' life that keep them moving and happy and excited. We want to do that for the kids we're serving and those parents. And so, again, by people just wanting to learn more about what we do, you can visit echoshelter.org. And Stephanie mentioned our success stories. We have some success videos up as well. And again, I loved what you said, Fred. It's really, these aren't stories. These are people's, in their own words, who really wanted to share with the community so that way people know Echo really helped them transform, and it is a special place. And, you know, we can't do this without the community, from volunteers to people who want to come for a tour, learn more, and, you know, so people know it's working. We keep beating our own records. Each year we track how many people get back into stable housing. And this is the fourth year in a row we are outpacing and beating our own record. And so far this year we've helped 341 individuals or children find a place of their own. And last year's number was 353. And we're only in October. So it's amazing.
I'm amazed based upon the fact that I know that housing is so limited in this county, and affordable housing is unheard of in most cases. In a lot of cases, I realize what you're probably fighting is not the cost of housing, but whether or not it even exists to be offered. And I'm wondering, for some of the families you work with, you said that you do your 90-day program is a longer program when dealing with families, or you can extend it. Tell me a little more about how you make that work, because my hunch is it's hard to judge what is going to be successful, and you don't want to put somebody back on the street, but you also know there's not necessarily housing for everyone.
Yeah, so for that, we do have that 90-day program to where we are hoping and striving to get somebody back into housing at the end of those 90 days. But there is situations that come up that sometimes people are working really hard. They are doing everything they can that's on their success plan with their case manager that they've written out, but yet they don't have the housing yet. And so in situations like that, we can make the call to extend that and to make it 6 months. And even sometimes when we know that there is a lease coming up, we've had this happen recently where they have the lease, they have everything, but they're still under construction. They're finishing the last pieces on a housing. And so we know that they're going to be housed. So we'll just extend that time to make sure that they don't experience that trauma of going back into homelessness. But we will just extend that time so that it will just time it just perfectly to where they can get back into housing right after.
Good to know. Mm-hmm. Very good to know. I want to remind folks, we have a few minutes left. If you have some questions or observations or some personal experience with Echo or homelessness that you'd like to talk about, give us a call at 805-781-3875. You do not need to give your name. We can, and actually you can pose a question through our engineer without your voice actually on the radio if that's what you'd prefer, but we'd love to hear from you. 805-781-3875. Wendy, I want to shift back to you because these are the questions. It seems every time we've talked to you and other homeless programs in the county, one of the key things that comes up are, how in the world did Echo ever end up with a converted motel in Paso Robles? That's question number one. And question number two, where in the world on the site in Atascadero are you putting a 7,200-square-foot building?
Great questions. And I get the one about Paso probably the most, both pretty often. Paso, it was a journey that I still look back to this day and go, did that happen? And yeah, it did, because we've been there 5 years. It wasn't on our radar. We were looking at potentially expanding. At that time, we had done a strategic plan, and we knew Paso had a lot of people that needed services, and we were building our infrastructure in order at some point to be ready to bring programming up there. And I got a call from someone at the county, and they said, oh gosh, have you heard of Project Home Key? It's state funding, and it's kind of in the early stages, and we've heard as the county that the Motel 6 in Paso is going to be one that gets sold for these type of projects. And I was like, no, but tell me more. And they told me more. And I had never been to Motel 6 in Paso. And so I immediately after I talked with the county person, jumped in my car and drove up there. And I just realized as I was driving through, I was like, oh, there's one building. And then I kept driving. And I'm like, oh, there's another building. And then there's another building. And then there's another building. And we were only a team of six at Echo at that time, and we were still had just converted to 24 hours in Atascadero. And I was like, we can't do this, but it has to happen. It's bringing this incredible resource to our community. So I called People Self-Help Housing, and they were like, whoa, we have to do this. And they're like, let's figure this out. And then we figured out we can't, as the two of us, do it. We needed a government entity or a housing authority. And so we reached out to the Housing Authority of Slo County, and it was incredible. The proposal to the state was due in like a 3-week turnaround. None of us had board meetings, and somehow we convinced three boards to submit an application for, it was a $14.8 million funding project to come into our community, and it happened. And looking back at how that did, it just, again, it took people who are committed to this work. And it's so unique because we're only about a third of the property, but people still often think of the whole thing as Echo. But other third or two thirds is permanent supportive housing. And so it is housing that is available to people we're serving. So right on site, you have this beautiful partnership of two different programs. And 5 years later, so many people have been helped. And we still offer meals every night. Someone can come to either location for a dinner. Anybody's welcome. But the amount of people that we've been able to get into housing out of Paso Robles has been tremendous. And one thing that was mentioned earlier, that we're physically in Atascadero and Paso, but I always want to remind people, is that we serve anybody. We serve anybody who needs us. If you are fleeing domestic violence and you're coming from somewhere else, we don't put parameters. If you, you know, are a family down in Napomo, you know, we are kind of the family go-to shelters in the county, and we take referrals from all over. And it's been 5 years that have been incredible. The community is come and stepped up. I say leap of faith, especially for us when we did that, because it only came with 2 years of state funding for our portion. So for our board to say, okay, we're going to build it, figure out the funding after 2 years, but we proved what we can, our data's there, we're meeting the needs of the community, we're really supporting the people, and we're making progress. The land.
Wow.
Because actually, to this day,
I drove by the site. I did not get a chance to come to the groundbreaking, and I'm looking at this and saying, where are you going to fit this in? And I guess it had to get city approval to be built, so it fits zoning laws.
Yeah, it's
but
right.
It's a surprise.
If anybody saw the press release that went out, or they saw on our social channels the pictures of those 150 people there, that's exactly where it's going to be, right there in that dirt that we were all kind of sitting in. And it is, again, we have these little Echo miracles, and it is the exact size of what we really truly were wanting in our dream. And it fits perfectly with all that permitting that's already happened. The city did not give us a pass on any of that. They were wonderful to work with, but you know, it fits all those requirements and all the housing requirements. But it is going to be two stories, and I just cannot wait for this to happen, because right now we're also just out of space. You know, we know we probably could have a good handful more of case managers to do even more work, but we literally have no place to set a new staff member. We know our case managers and our team need space to have these conversations with someone who might be sharing something very personal from their journey and what they need. And they're having to shuffle from the garden to the, you know, this one area we have. And so we'll have areas for people to really have that ability to be supported with, you know, walls and a door so they can really truly share. But yeah, you'll have to come on out, Fred, and I'll take you on a tour of the exact square footage that it's going
to
fit on.
I want to see how this is going to fit, because it looks snug, but if you got it approved by the Planning Commission and the City Council on Atascadero, I would say It'll work. That's good to talk about. I drew a blank for a second. I know what it was. We had a staff member here at the station and reminded me about a question that they wanted to know an answer to, and that's, I'm glad I didn't forget about it. There has been so much cut in funding at the federal level for human interest programs and homeless issues. How is that affecting you, and what are you looking at as far as the funding challenges that we're looking at nationally right now?
So my lovely team, they pointed at me.
You're the boss, Wendy.
I am. I'm the one that signed up for this. My husband often reminds me when I've had a tough day. It has been a roller coaster. I can tell your staff member that. I'm in a leadership group. Actually, I'm with Must Charities. They have a leadership group that they are piloting this year that's been incredible. And it's about 8 nonprofit leaders who are all facing that same question. And we've been talking about this for months and months. And, you know, we've been all navigating the roller coasters from, you know, early on, some very drastic cuts to, you know, some of those meetings. We were all just kind of sat there, just kind of disillusioned by some of what's going on, and then roller coaster back, and, oh, this funding piece got put in, but this one didn't. And so we're all really, as a county, really trying to work on that. The Board of Supervisors really stepped up about 3 or 4 months ago and set aside a pocket of money to really support, especially homeless service organizations, for at least some bridge funding to get us to where we might have some more knowns. But it's a combination of really leaning on our donors, having more events. We're stepping up as a team. We have added a new development director who's going to be helping with all of that too. But it's an interesting time, Fred. I've been in nonprofits almost 20 years now, and this is the most interesting of a time with funding. The one thing that ECHO does, and we've been very strategic, is we really made sure we were very diverse in the funding that's coming in to support our work, so that way if one component gets cut, we can still keep going forward and still do the services we do. We might have to shift some programming or make some decisions, or it might be me, you know, calling a donor and saying, I've got a big ask because we want to keep this going, and taking all that into effect. We're also so efficient, right? If you look at our nightly bed cost to provide all these comprehensive services and that support for an individual, it's about $58. And so it is kind of unheard of in our work to have that low of a bed cost, but that is our volunteers. That is that power of volunteerism. If we had to hire to provide everything our volunteers do, it'd be another $1.5 million on top of our budget. And so it's all of these pieces that is making that still continue to do what we're doing without drastic changes. And again, it's this community that we can lean on if we need to.
Very good transition. Thank you. Because the question is, I'm sure you always need more volunteers. You may get a lot of people who feel like, well, I don't have defined skills to work with the homeless population, but volunteers come in all shapes and sizes. What kind of volunteers are you looking for, and how does one contact you and say, okay, I've got some time on my hands, what can I do for you?
I would direct folks to our website. You can get all the information you need there to volunteer. And I would encourage anybody to take an opportunity to volunteer at ECHO if they can, because it is such a wonderful experience. First, I just want to acknowledge how rare it is to find an organization that has a volunteer program that operates 365 days a year. That is completely unheard of, and that they are always filling these spots. Yes, you know, our volunteer manager works really hard to make sure they're filled. There's a lot of coordinating that has to happen on the back end, but oh my goodness, to have that many volunteers serving meals and facilitating the showers and the handling the donation closet, it's incredible. I'd like to invite anyone to come to volunteer, because having those moments with our community is a really wonderful way to get to know your community. Every single person that we serve is a person with a life story that is probably a roller coaster of beautiful and challenging, and they have so many stories they can share. And it's a great way to kind of demystify homelessness. I think people are often intimidated or apathetic, or, you know, all sorts of feelings come to mind when they see folks that are unhoused. And so I encourage people to come and do a meal service and talk to their neighbors, talk to the folks who are facing these hardships and get to know them, because it, you know, these are people just like us, and they have stories that many of them want to share, and relationships that can be built. And doing these meal services is a really great way to get to know that part of our community.
Thank you. We only have a few minutes left, and as most of our listeners have heard me say before, I feel like I talk too much, and I want to make sure that my guests get the last word. Stephanie, why don't we start with you? What do you want to make sure people carry home from this program today and don't forget about?
Yeah, I really want to make sure that I go back to something that Wendy mentioned, and just what really sets Echo apart. There's a lot of different things. The heart of Echo and the community that you just find once you just step on either of our campuses is really so evident, but also just the statistics that back it. So nationwide, we have 10% that most homeless shelters are moving their someone that is experiencing homelessness back into housing. That's 10%, and that's the national average. But for Echo, our success rate is 60%, and 90% of those stay housed long term.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Tess, it's your turn.
All right. One thing that I really just want to leave with folks about Echo, and it really has hit me coming into this community, is Echo is a really unique organization doing really unique work. And I say that because it's unfortunately not as common as it should be, where an organization truly meets their community where they're at and treats them with the most dignity and compassion and respect. And I see that within all the volunteers. I see it with the staff. And it creates this beautiful energy on the campuses. And the residents are happy, and the folks coming for dinner are happy. And people just it's a really special energy. It's like Stephanie said, you know, you have to step on the campus to see it. Another reason why I'd encourage folks to volunteer. But Echo just does things differently. And it's an honor to be starting this role and working with these folks, because they're doing great work. It's beautiful.
Okay. Take a moment, because we have a little more time. Share you the program in San Francisco you worked with. Can you just share a little bit about the nature of that program?
Absolutely. So I've worked for nearly 13 years at an organization called Hospitality House in San Francisco. I love that organization with all my heart. I had no interest in leaving. I wasn't going to go anywhere else. But, you know, Echo does things in a really similar way. And it's that meeting people where they're at and really it's valuing the touch that you can have with each person and the difference you can make with each interaction, and understanding that, you know, the folks in these unique and challenging situations are humans like everyone else, and to really treat them as such. It's unfortunate that we have to even say that, but that's not always the case. You know, the organization I worked for previously, Hospitality House, they had 6 programs. We did not work with children. It was primarily single older adults. Similar stuff, you know, we had one shelter. It was a small men's shelter, and 2 self-help centers, a community building program, an employment program, and then a community arts program. So different programming and a bigger organization, but similar in the way that treating people with respect, it comes first and foremost above anything else, and meeting people where they're at and respecting people to know that they know where they're at in their journey, and letting them guide the way. It's not we're not ever giving a voice to the voiceless or, you know, doing that for them. It's helping folks find their voice and understanding that the power is within them. They just need to be loved and given that time and attention and care and quality, you know, case management, and they can do it. Everyone can make that change with the right support and resources.
Thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely.
Okay, Wendy, you're the boss. You get the last word.
Well, first, thank you for having us on that. It's been many years of getting to work with you, and you're just such an incredible journalist and community partner. I just want to thank you. You know, this work is so special, and we as a team get to witness these special moments, and we call them mission moments, and it's these either big things that happen to someone in a good way are these little special moments that happen. And I talked about the groundbreaking and all the work we have ahead of us. And literally, they were putting the fence up for the construction zone in Atascadero this morning. And I was just like, oh, it's going to be a fun year, just because we're all so stretched as it is. And this is going to stretch us and stretch us. But our team is amazing. You guys got to meet two of our most dedicated. And we have so many that just works tirelessly. But from the groundbreaking, we were trying to get things set up, and there was two young gentlemen that are in our program, and literally they would not let us like lift a chair ourselves to get the chair set up. Or one gentleman carried, I think, five chairs down from upstairs in one load. That's part of ECHO, is people are inspired to help, from the community to our donors to our volunteers to our board. But it also, our people we're serving are the first to help as well. And when we took the giant picture, and I was thank you, Rick Evans, by the way, for coming and taking pictures. I was looking through them, and in the picture, again, you have incredible people like Senator Laird, but those young gentlemen jumped in the picture, and I usually don't get choked up. That became a mission moment to me, because, you know, they could have been not helping, and they could have not taken the time, but they were so proud they jumped in the picture. So, yeah, that's ECHO.
So you have program people who are not spectators.
You got it. People often are giving back at ECHO while they're at ECHO, and many, many come back and volunteer. Our team itself, we have about 10 people who have experienced homelessness themselves, either have graduated ECHO programs or have come to us because they see our work. And can you imagine having a case manager who has walked that same walk, that can sit next to you and say, yeah, you know, I was there just like you, and You can do it. You can do it, and give them a path. So people want to find out more, visit echoshelter.org. And thank you again, Fred.
Thank you. It's been a good program. It is always wonderful to hear positive things in our community. And ECHO has been an organization that has made a big difference. So thank you for coming here to share this. This has been Central Coast Voices. I want to remind you that Chris Kington Barker will be with you next week in my chair. And we are a production of KCBX Public Radio of the Central Coast. We could not do this without KCBX. You can reach us at voices@kcbx.org with your questions and feedback. This is listener-supported public radio, and thank you to my studio engineers today for our support in getting us on the air. And thank you to our guests today, Wendy Lewis, Tess Davis-Cleek, and Stephanie Potter. I'm terrible with names. This has been Central Coast Voices.